Before we get into today's stories, I want to tell you a personal story of my own. You know I'm all about making smart moves. And speaking of which, I recently discovered I was still paying for streaming services I haven't used in months. But here's the game changer, our sponsor, Rocket Money. This cool app is a financial Swiss Army knife, helping you save more and spend less. It's like having a finance guru in your pocket, and it's already saved its members a whopping $1 billion. I've been using Rocket Money to help with my finances. First off, it spotted and axed a couple of sneaky subscriptions I totally forgot about, all with a simple tap. No more phone calls, no more hassle. What a relief that is. Then there's the bill negotiation feature. I just snapped a pic of my internet bill, and bam, Rocket Money worked its magic to lower the cost. And my budget? It's never looked better. The app keeps an eye on my spending, nudges me if I'm splurging too much, and even shows me my spend-to-earn ratio. It's like having a personal financial coach. And it doesn't stop there. My credit score? Constantly monitored. My savings? Growing without me lifting a finger thanks to the smart savings feature. And my net worth, including that little crypto adventure I embarked on, is all neatly laid out. So if you want to join the 5 million members who are already mastering their money with Rocket Money, check this out. Head over to rocketmoney.com/DonovanDread or hit the link in the description for a free trial. Remember, that's rocketmoney.com/DonovanDread. Start taking control of your finances today for free. A few years ago during the fall, I was on a trip to visit Savannah, Georgia. Towards the end of the day, I ended up in Colonial Park Cemetery, just as it was getting dark. I'm really into history. I mean, a real history buff. I'm also into ghosts and stuff. So going to Savannah was perfect for me. It's got a lot of history and heaps of ghost stories and weird characters, so I loved it there. The Colonial Park Cemetery is the oldest one around there. It's huge with these old oak trees everywhere and old, old tombstones. I mean, the cemetery was established in 1750, but burials ceased around the mid-1850s, so this place was old. I had looked up its past before I went there, so I knew I'd be a bit creeped out. But being there at dusk, it was a whole different thing. The partly rusted iron gates gave the place a weird vibe. The constant noise of leaves blowing across stone paths certainly didn't lighten the mood. I spent the first part of the evening looking around the graves and checking out the crypts and mausoleums. Though it was already late fall, you could still feel the last of summer's heat hanging around. The air was heavy, almost like it was filled with the history of the people who used to live here. Those old oak trees stretching out over graves covered with crabgrass looked pretty creepy. And the tombstones, they had stories of folks who lived and died a long time ago. Some were so old you could barely make out the writing, while others had clear signs of suffering from wars, diseases, or disasters that hit the city in the past. I snapped some photos, jotted down notes, and just sat there for a bit, trying to get a feel of the place's history. You know, picturing how daily life was for people who cared about this place when it was established, and how they've all gone away over time. When night fell, everything around me started feeling a bit spooky, instead of just historic. The longer I was in this silence, the more I felt a weird connection to people who've passed. Hard to explain, sounds strange putting it in words, but it's as if I could literally feel their stories, characteristics, and unfinished matters in the air. I decided to go deeper into the graveyard, just as it started getting to get a bit cold. It was still pretty damp out, but kinda cool too. The type that gives you chills. The park lights were turning on, but they were so dim, they created more shadows than light among the oak trees. Then, something weird happened. It felt like the whole vibe of the place changed. The crickets stopped making noise, the leaves stopped moving, and it was totally quiet in the trees. It felt like everything was waiting for something. I looked around, but the lights weren't very strong against the darkness. Then, after a while, I heard a rustling noise. It was coming from above me, so I quickly pointed my flashlight upwards. I saw something, like a wing, huge and shaped like a bat's. But here's the weird bit. It had black feathers where it was attached to the body. And then, this thing came into the light. Never seen anything like it. kinda gross, but also kinda amazing. Like something you'd hear about in old myths or something. It was pretty tall for something I had never seen before, over 5 feet, and its massive wings were covered in dark feathers. You know how people say time slows down when stuff gets intense? I used to think they were just being dramatic, but when it opened its wings, they were huge and leathery, almost like a cool gothic cape. I actually felt like time was moving slower, but its eyes, those were the scariest part. They were big and bright red, made me think of two mirrors reflecting a creepy fire, and they scared me stiff. But it was weird, they also kind of hypnotized me. I felt a shiver down my back just looking at that beast. Before I knew it, it flew off into the night. But those red eyes, I just couldn't shake them from my head. I waved my flashlight around hoping to see something again, but all I got was darkness and quiet. There was nothing to show for the crazy thing that just happened to me. It was pretty late when I eventually left the graveyard. Feeling rattled, I went back to my motel room to think about what happened. Did I just imagine it, or was it because the place was eerie that I manifested something? I spent so much time online looking into it, browsing tons of horror chat rooms, folklore sites, and fan theories, trying to figure out what I saw. Some people had seen a similar creature, but you know how these spooky tales tend to get blown out of proportion as time goes by, right? But then, the more I mulled over it, I began to believe that what I saw was pretty out of the ordinary. The next morning, I went back to Colonial Park Cemetery. In some corner of my mind, I was hoping to find something, anything, that would solidify what I saw. I tried to find any sign, like lost feathers or footprints, but I couldn't find anything. The park was quiet again and very different from last night. When I told people about it, they nodded in agreement, but I'm not sure what they were really thinking. Anyway, maybe Savannah let me see a bit of its truth, its mysterious past. At least I do know that one night in Colonial Park Cemetery gave me a memory I won't forget easily. It feels like a piece of me is still stuck there, tied to that encounter under the old live oaks, where the only light was from those dim, flickering lamps. It's an imaging that sticks with me, and I can't seem to shake it off. I went to Northern California about 3 years ago, and every day took a morning walk in the redwoods. It's a really incredible place. The trees are so tall and big, it's as if you're walking amongst giants. The place is like pure, untouched nature. You really feel at peace when you're in the woods. You've got birds singing, leaves rustling, and bits of sunlight slipping through. Walking among these unbelievable trees made me realize how small I am in the big picture. And I actually enjoyed that feeling. It's like they say, nature can soothe your soul in ways some people just can't understand. I got up really early that morning, ate some breakfast, and then got my gear ready. I was hoping to take some photos of animals in their early morning routines, or maybe spot some unique birds. Little did I know, I was going to get quite a fright during that morning walk. The redwoods were really big and quite spread out, like the old forests you hear about. I was walking and listening to animals, like a chipmunk climbing a tree and some blue jays messing around. I had been walking for like 2 hours, really enjoying how beautiful and peaceful it was. Normally, you'd see some deer or maybe raccoons if you're up this early. But it wasn't like that today. When I was far into the woods, I spotted a weird footprint. And let me tell you, these footprints were something else. They were big, but that's not the only thing that caught my attention. The strange thing was, they kind of looked like humans' prints, but without a shoe. But actually, they were just too big, so none of it made sense. I assumed it was probably a joke, like someone messing around with a fake footprint maker or something. So I kept going, feeling a bit freaked out as I went further into the thick woods. And then, just when I was starting to get really nervous, something else happened. I was just hanging around, hoping to catch a glimpse of a kingfisher diving down for its lunch, when I heard something. A strange sound, not like the normal sounds you'd hear in the forest. It was deep and growly, really loud. It seemed to bounce off the redwoods around me. I froze for a bit. All the other sounds faded out, and all I could hear was my own heartbeat pounding in my ears. Even though I was still figuring things out, I wasn't prepared for what was next. Then, I felt it almost more than I heard it. It was the strong sound of footsteps, leaves rustling, and branches breaking. Noises bigger than what I've ever heard from any animal during all my time in the woods. I turned around slowly, getting chills. There it was, aware of me like I was aware of it. It was so tall that its head was touching a low-hanging branch. Its shoulders were almost as wide as the trail we were on. What surprised me first was how it stood like a human, but it was clearly not a human. It had a really striking presence. It was coated in a blend of dark, bushy hair, along with lighter red patches, which really stood out against the bright green plants around it. It had a very wrinkled face, with dark eyes under a noticeable forehead that led down to a thick jaw. The jawline was so sharp and surrounded by a rough layer of hair. Quite an odd sight. When it flared its nostrils, I got hit by a smell that left a gross taste in my mouth. It smelled very strongly of wet fur. Its eyes looked so much like a human's. It was weird. They were deep, dark, and seemed to understand things. I could feel my heart racing. We just stayed there for a while, staring at each other. It was like this creature was fascinated by me. We stopped staring at each other when a loud growl interrupted our trance. The beast flexed its muscles under its thick fur. Then it turned around, showing off its big, strong back. With a final grunt, it moved with strange elegance back into the thick trees. Every footstep echoed until it faded, and then everything went dead quiet. I just stood there, shocked and unable to react. I was trying to make sense of what just happened. After all, I've heard all these stories before, and of course I never believed them. Who hasn't heard about this type of creature, right? But honestly, I never thought I'd see it for myself. Honestly, I must have stood there for hours before I could even move again. Every time I saw a shadow or heard a sound, my heart pounded as I walked back the way I came. Even when I left the woods and hit the road, I was still spooked, and truthfully, I still am. How could I not be? That meeting really shook me up. Now, whenever I go into the woods, I can't forget those strong-looking eyes, that strong smell and that big figure getting lost in the trees. I keep dreaming about it, and it's made me even more interested in the wild. Even though I was scared and could barely believe such a creature was real, I knew for sure that I wouldn't swap that experience for anything. A few years ago, I visited this famous place in Villisca, Iowa. If you don't know about the Villisca Axe Murder House, it's really creepy because of what happened there. I'm sure the name is giving you a hint, but back in 1912, 8 people were killed there, and 6 of them were children. To this day, no one knows who did it, and there is a lot of weird speculation going around. I'm usually not crazy about paranormal stuff, but I was visiting family who lived about 30 minutes away, and knowing its history and being able to see it was just too cool to pass up. I thought it'd be a memorable trip at the very least. We got to Villisca after noon. The town had a really strange vibe to it. The house? It looked just as creepy as you'd expect a haunted house to look. It was a simple place, but something about it made you feel uneasy. The house's white paint was peeling off on the day I saw it, and its windows looked quite spooky. It was as scary as you'd expect, but maybe that was just my mind knowing what had happened there. I entered the house with a group of tourists. We all looked around, half scared, half thrilled. Inside was dim, felt a bit close and cold, and had this weird smell, like old dust and polished wood. Each room we entered felt weird in its own way. The tour guide showed us around, telling us about the sad events that happened there, including where some of the nasty stuff happened. It was uncomfortably quiet as we all thought about what happened right where we were standing. Except for the guide's quiet storytelling and the muffled sounds of our footsteps, there was no other sound in the house, but for me, something didn't feel right, and it wasn't just because of the creepy history we were learning. Truthfully, I thought I was just scaring myself, because we were in a house where a murder had happened. I tried to ignore my thoughts and move on. We explored the house, room by room, starting with the ones on the ground floor, the lounge, the kitchen, and the kids' rooms, and then we went upstairs. Every room I entered seemed to make me feel more uneasy. It was as if I were walking in a heavy fog. Each room felt colder and creepier. You know that feeling when you suddenly get the sense that you're not alone? You know that feeling of being watched even when there's nobody around? It felt something like that. I kept saying to myself that I could handle this. We walked around the dark, tight hallways and upstairs bedrooms, and trust me, the place was strange. There was this weird silence, with just a shocked whisper or gasp from tourists now and then, and the guide's creepy stories. It was like actually being in a horror movie. And then, things started to get really strange when we entered the main bedroom. When I walked into the main bedroom, I suddenly felt really cold. I noticed it slowly, like a cold breeze that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It wasn't just the breeze, though. It felt, sort of, like someone lightly touched my shoulder. I remember I stopped breathing for a bit because I felt a weird pressure on my shoulder. I thought it would be a fellow tourist messing with me, but I turned around and no one was there. All I saw was a dim room with old wallpaper and heavy old school furniture. I was the last one from my group, as everyone else was already in the next room. I felt really cold, way colder than I thought I should. But it wasn't just that. It got under my skin and made me tense. My heart started racing and I could hear it beating loud and clear. There was a dim light bulb hanging above and I swear I saw something, sort of like fog under its light. It wasn't totally white, more like those wavy lines you see on hot days. At that point, every part of me just wanted to get out of there and never look back. But instead, I was frozen stiff, scared as heck. I felt sick to my stomach like I was falling. It was dead quiet, apart from my heavy breathing. After a while, I was able to move and step back from the room, and whatever it was that I thought was in there. I went back down to join the others, but didn't say a word. I mean, how was I supposed to explain that I felt something touch my shoulder, even though there was nothing there? Or the weird clear smoke I saw in the room? Who'd believe that? Right after, we stepped out and the air felt oddly cool and fresh. The rest of that whole day, I felt really lucky, like I just avoided big trouble. If it was a ghost, it didn't come with us. Thank God for that. It seemed like whatever it was only in that room. I later found out that one of the adults who died there was the mom. She used to stay in the main bedroom. Maybe it was her ghost that touched my shoulder. These thoughts still bug me when I think about that room. Even now, just telling the story creeps me out. Can't believe I went into that house not believing in anything, but ended up having a strange experience with something I couldn't even see. I was surprised by that touch. It felt so real at that time. Sometimes, I can still feel it, like getting a reminder of something I couldn't see. I guess it just goes to show that some people really do seem to live on forever. Years ago, I was working on this archaeological project in Mesa Verde National Park in Colorado. It was back in July 2014, and to this day, I still can't quite wrap my head around what happened. Being an archaeologist, I'm used to some pretty weird stuff, like mucking around in slimy caves and old tombs. But this experience really took the cake, even for me. I was on a research team digging up stuff from the ancient homes of the Pueblos. Even though it was hot and hard work, I felt really lucky to be working on such a historic site. The whole Mesa Verde National Park felt like a mix of mystery and history, which made me really appreciate the past. Most of my job was writing down details and carefully packing and taking out historical items we found in the park. As an archaeologist, it's pretty normal to get dirty dealing with old stuff. I love it, honestly. It's exciting to see a bit of history that no one's seen for hundreds of years. As time passed, we started to find more and more. We found a bunch of old stuff that seemed like it was used for some kind of ceremony. The walls within our current dig had these old wall paintings. And most paintings had this weird lizard theme going on. This one time, I was writing down details of this ceramic piece we had unearthed. It was constructed to look like a half-human, half-lizard creature. I made a joke that we discovered our own Jurassic Park statue. Little did I know, this joke would end up being more real than I could have ever thought. So one night, after a hard day of digging, I was just sitting by myself at camp. It was a cool summer night, and it was really quiet around the dark mesa. I just had a cup of tepid coffee with me since everyone else had already gone to bed. After a day full of heat, dust, and finding artifacts, I figured I'd take a casual walk before going to sleep. Trust me, there's nothing like a star-studded night in the southwest. The stars look crazy bright, unlike in the city. I walked alone near the cliff with only the sound of the wind. It reminded me of how the sounds of the desert get carried by the wind. It was really quiet, with just a peaceful sort of rustling. Everything seemed so clear in that silence, which is probably why the loud noise sounded really out of place, and kind of scary. I thought it could be a coyote or raccoon since they're always messing around our campsite. I shone my flashlight towards where the noise was coming from. I was expecting to see a coyote or a raccoon, maybe even a rabbit, but there was nothing there, just empty space. Empty space other than a set of clean bones and an old fire pit. Then I heard that noise again. It was louder and closer, and sounded like stones rubbing together. I shone my flashlight towards the noise, thinking it was probably some desert animals fighting over food. But I was wrong. Instead, I saw a figure standing at the edge of the cliff. At first, I figured it was just another archaeologist who couldn't sleep, like me. But something didn't seem right. This person was large, way taller than anyone on our team, and their shape looked weird. They stood up too straight and their limbs seemed kind of strange. When I got a bit closer to them, I couldn't believe it. This thing wasn't a human. I had to squint to see it, but what I could make out freaked me out. I saw sharp, dripping claws shining in the light. Then I noticed these weirdly glowing yellow eyes staring right at me. They looked old, smart, and frighteningly threatening. Never seen anything like them before. The thing's head looked just like a lizard's, scaly and long, just like that pottery thing I saw earlier today. I tried telling myself it was just the desert playing tricks on me. I rubbed my eyes and even pinched myself, hoping it was just a dream. But when I looked again, it was still there, and even more obvious. I was now scared to death. All I knew was it felt like I was being hunted. I wanted to run back to the camp, but I couldn't move my legs. Then, all of a sudden, whatever it was disappeared. One moment, I saw it on the cliff. The next, it was gone. I was left there, my shaking flashlight in hand, my heart racing. I'm not sure how long it took me to get back to my bed, away from the darkness and that creature. I couldn't sleep, just looking up at the ceiling, thinking it all over. Was it just a crazy dream or me going nuts? Or did I actually see it? When the sun came up, it shone into my tent and woke me. I heard the wind blowing outside like any normal day. I took a look at myself in the mirror, half thinking I'd gone crazy. But I just saw a confused archaeologist who was seriously freaked out by what happened last night. I didn't tell anyone about it. I just concentrated on our digs and thought of that weird figure as something bizarre happening in my otherwise normal life. Years later, when I heard about these reptilians, legendary creatures that were half human, half reptile from old stories and modern conspiracy theories, it gave me the chills. It made me think back to that creepy figure I saw that night under the stars. It was freaky, but a little part of me felt it made sense. I can't help but think, did the old Puebloans ever come across them too? And did they show them in their artwork? Now that I look back, it's obvious that everything changed for me that night. It opened my mind to a world of uncertainty, one where scientific answers don't reach. A couple of years ago, I took a trip to Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness in Minnesota. I went out there because my grandfather had grown up in Minnesota and always talked about the Boundary Waters. It was the one-year anniversary of his passing, and I wanted to head there to honor him and see the area with my own eyes. It was smack in the middle of summer. The sun felt nice and not too hot, and the blueberry bushes were packed with ripe berries. So I was just standing there at one point, picking and eating some berries. You know, as you pick the ripe blueberries, their juice stains your fingers and it smells fresh and natural. It's such a simple activity, but it's pretty satisfying if you're the type who enjoys nature. You kind of lose track of time when you're out in the woods like that. There I was in this endless forest, surrounded by big old trees, picking blueberries when something suddenly stopped me. I remember the moment exactly. I was looking at a bush full of ripe berries, hidden under broad leaves. You could hear the sound of crickets in the background. Suddenly, I heard a strange noise. It was a deep growl that made the hairs on my neck stand up. It totally caught me off guard. Even the usual sounds of the crickets seemed to quiet down with the noise. I would say you could have cut the tension with a knife. I was looking around, trying to figure out where that noise was coming from. It's weird how your mind plays tricks on you when you think you're in danger. Every little noise and shadow starts feeling suspicious. There was also this really bad stench in the air. The horrible smell really freaked me out. It made me feel like something bad had happened, or was about to happen. It was like my gut telling me to be careful because something dangerous was close. I then saw a shadow out of the corner of my eye. That's when it hit me. I wasn't the only one in the forest. Something big then jumped out of the bushes at me, and everything got really quiet. Everything was so still, it felt like even the wind stopped. I could hear my heartbeat in my ears. Right there, under the tall pine trees, was this massive creature. Slightly bent as if its massive torso was too much for its strong muscles. In the sunlight, it looked more like a beast than anything I'd ever seen, with a huge chest, strong arms with long, deadly claws and wide shoulders. It had a thick fur coat that was a mix of gray and brown. Basically, the thing looked like a mix of a man and a dog. Normally, I'd find that funny, like something you'd see in a comic book. But this wasn't funny. It scared the heck out of me. I was totally freaked out when we locked eyes. They were yellow and beamed like they knew it was at the top of the food chain. It really scared me to my core. By now, it started growling and grunting, making the air around feel heavy with a bad vibe. I was sure it was threatening me. Its long snout moved and wrinkled, showing off a solid jaw and a mouth that was drooling. I didn't waste any time and I took off running. I thought I was quick to begin with, but being scared made me run faster than I thought I could, and I didn't even notice the branches hitting my face and arms. I dashed into the thick forest, hoping it would hide me from the animal that I was sure was stalking me. I finally reached my car and struggled with the keys because I was so panicked. I was expecting to feel its claws on my back at any moment, but it never happened. I hopped in the car, started it, and drove off really fast, leaving a bunch of dust behind and cranking up the radio to cover up my heavy breathing. After that, I couldn't look at the woods the same way. Every little shadow scared me. Every sound from the leaves freaked me out. Did I stumble upon something in the woods that I shouldn't have? It took me a bit to remember where I'd heard of such creatures before. Old myths and stories from loggers, campers, and hikers, stuff most people just wrote off as campfire tales, suddenly seemed real. I also remember what they called the thing I saw. They called it a dogman.